Rocking to the Beat with Jason Tudrin. Top of the box here in Southern High School. Great vantage point to see a high school football game, and a great high school football game we are seeing. About 80% packed, the stands here on the Southern Durham side. Over on the orange side, not a seat to be had. Looks like a bunch of deer hunters it over does. There with all that bright orange. And anybody getting lost in that crowd? And Pat Moser, happy to see the Panther contingent follow his team from Hillsboro to see if they can exact a little revenge here on the team that kept them from their undefeated season and the first conference title dished out to the North Carolina Big 8 3A conference. And again, we've talked about this, Jason Tudrin, you talk about this conference. It probably is the toughest 3A conference in the entire state of North Carolina.
I think there's no question. You look at, you know, how competitive the playoff games prior to this have been, you know, and Chapel Hill gave Southern Durham a, you know, 2.5-quarter fight, and then, you know, Cardinal Gibbons came in here and nearly pulled off an upset last week. So, and you know, Northwood out down south in Pittsburgh did a really good job as far as their season went when they often win 8 games this season. So it's a really competitive athletic conference that I think is just going to continue to improve, because when the top does so well, there's no choice but the bottom's really got to start to pick it up and just to hold pace with them.
Now, if you could just pick up 400 or 500 kids in that Carrboro High School of yours, we could have Carrboro here.
We may be the Big 9 as we get 4 years down the road here, because our school is growing in each and every year.
Well, I'll tell you, the most impressive thing, and, you know, John Shoup and I talked about this constantly last year, the thing that has been most impressive about the games in which we have covered and the teams that we have been fortunate enough to see, what we've been most impressed with is the coaching and the leadership of these teams. And that goes to you, Jason Tudrin, and it goes to your compatriots, Bill Hall over at Northwood, Pat Moser at Orange, even with the turmoil and the changeover they've had at East Chapel Hill, that program continues to be on the ascent. Isaac Marsh over at Chapel Hill, you know, these are programs where these kids are proud to play football and they're playing good football.
I think it goes through the community, because when you look at a school like Orange, and you know, they've been second year in a row they've been in the playoffs this far, and you know, we had our success last year in Orange County. Now football's becoming important. Kids want to go out and play it and be like the Tay Joneses or the Trey Sharps and those kids in the community, and I think that's great for high school football, and it's great for the sport, and it's a tribute to the fact that, you know, Coach Moser's been in it for a long time, and he's doing a great job with his kids, and that program has never dreamed about coming this far, and he's got them to the stage 2 years in a row.
Well, and it has, and you have to remember that Pat Moser now, this is his second dance at Orange. You know, he left for a handful of years and then was enticed back, and very much when this Orange program was in absolute disarray. They're coming off a 3-win season, and then they were 5-6 in his first year back, and then he's really rebuilt them. You know, last year, you have to remember that, you know, they went 3 rounds last year, and were eventually beaten by a team that was beating everybody Havelock. I'm sorry, that was they were outscoring they outscored everybody. I think it was something like 356-35 in the four state rounds that they had. And, you know, but this is a team that was certainly ready to come back, and they've done an outstanding job. Now, this Southern Durham team, they had no kind of success last year. You know, they really could not find their rhythm. But what it was I think you just had a lot of athleticism lurking underneath and players that were just too young to make a contribution. But they seem to be maturing at the right time. And, not only are they going to bet this year, but, man, a lot of guys coming back next year here.
They're a sleeping giant. They always have been in this area. And, you know, they've got players that can flat-out run. They've got kids that can flat-out compete. And it's enjoyable for me to sit up here and watch how talented their kids are.
Well, we've got about a minute 20 before we tee this one up again. And, again, the Orange Panthers will be getting the ball to start the second half. And the Panthers coming out, and they'd like to come out. They'd like to eat up some clock. They'd like to get a little warm. They'd like to run the ball. Maybe Michael Bolden eat up some more yards, get Patrick Pettiford a little more involved, find some kind of a rhythm for Tay Jones, who he did carry the ball 3 times in the first half, but he was beat up on all 3 of those carries. In fact, 1 reception, 2 carries, and they're really trying to pound on him and send a message, because they know that outside of Kai Muller, he's their other big play guy. Patrick Pettiford usually finds his big plays on mistakes and miscommunications where he breaks one out of the backfield. but they would really like to, keep Tay Jones in check. But again, Orange will find the ball, will have the ball to start the second half. And just before we come out here for the second half kickoff, let's take a quick break. 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to WCHL Championship Sports.
You're listening to High School Football on 97.9 FM WCHL. Follow your area teams all season long on your news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
On our way back now, ready to get this one underway. And there are just 24 minutes left in somebody's season, Jason, and you know what this is like, all the way to the state championship game last year. And, even in the midst of all this tension and stress, it's darn enjoyable.
Oh, you're not kidding. We'd say our kids a lot last year. I know Coach Moser probably say the same thing right now, is that, these nights you wish they would go on forever. And it really is it's a memorable time, because you experience emotions and feelings with kids that you just don't experience on an everyday basis. So it's exciting to see these kids out here giving everything they got in order to continue their season on into the state semifinals next week.
Well, and there has been a chess match that has gone on here with the special teams. We have yet to see a punt, but on these kickoffs, of which we have seen, I think, six now, it has been a chess match. A couple of onside kicks, a couple of pooch kicks. There's been different lineups. As we see now, Leonardo Roscoe, teeing up at the 40-yard line. No pretense on this one. Just going to be a big boomer. Going to be over the head. Patrick Pettiford catches at the 5. You're going to bring it right back up Broadway to the 10. Now to the 15, to the 20. Little running room at the 25. Breaks it at the 30. To the 35. Foot race. Midfield. 45. One man to beat. He's got him. 30. 20. Taking it to the 3-yard line. Patrick Pettiford pulled down from behind. And that is what the Panthers needed to start the second half.
I think that was a great job by Pettiford, hitting the hole. As a coach, it was one of those deals where you're saying, oh, my God, what is he doing? Because he was going backwards as he caught the ball at about the 2-yard line. Took a little bit of time to get his momentum going because of the sloppy field conditions, and he found that crease, and there's a senior making a big-time play and talking about how you don't want that season to end. He made a point right there with his actions as far as following through with that long kickoff return.
They're going to say he was knocked out of bounds at the 4-yard line officially. It will be an 86-yard run back for Patrick Pettiford. Now lining up out of the eye. Clower wants to make sure everybody's set on this. Play clock under 8. No penalties. 6 in the box. Hand off right side. Pettiford, plenty of running room. He's going to step on into the end zone. And guess what? The Panthers on top right away, and it took all of 11 seconds.
Give it to the hot hand right there. He was the guy that went long distance on the kickoff return, and he's obviously in the zone right now. You want to be able to feed that horse, and Pettiford made that look really easy, scoring that touchdown.
Wow. Lightning strikes. Outstanding run back by Pettiford. And, the thing about Pettiford's run back, Jason, was it wasn't poor coverage. And he ran right into the teeth of it.
He did. He broke about 3 or 4 tackles with great strength and ended up slicing it about 50 yards. And he made the kicker miss at about the 45-yard line. And then Jeremy Griffiths would be able to track him down on about inside the 5, but it was a little too late in that sense because the next play, Pettiford ported in from about the 5-yard line.
Good snap. Bryce Wilson, hands down, foot up. Brad Barbie sticking it through the uprights, and 11:49. We're ready to play here in the third quarter. Lightning has struck, and it has struck quick, and the Panthers are up 7-0. Let's run on down and talk to our friend Jeff Hamlin.
Well, that was a fantastic run by Pat Pettiford. We mentioned that Tay Jones has been struggling tonight and getting going. He only has 1 yard rushing, but the Panthers special teams, needless to say, Paul, came up huge there, and Pat Pettiford earned the extra effort award from WREL Television just last week, not only for his exploits on the gridiron, but also for his artwork, which is prominently displayed at the Orange County Library. That's a very talented young man. He's got a lot of good things going for him on the field and off.
Well, I would definitely have to call artistic that last run back, as he definitely painted a mosaic up the middle of that defensive coverage on that kickoff. And again, running through the teeth of that coverage, breaking 3, 4, 5 tackles until he finally got to the kicker at the 45, and then he was kicking it into gear before he ran out of gas at the 8-yard line and was finally pushed out at the just inside the two. So 17-10, straight kickoff to the 15-yard line. William Cameron catches and puts the ball on the ground. Puts the ball on the ground at the 22.
That's number five.
Will recovers it, and before he's knocked down by Campbell and LeMaster on coverage. And, again, boy, I'll tell you, that's William Cameron. That's his first opportunity to return. He had plenty of room to return it, and I think he was just surprised they kicked it to him.
I tell you, there was only two people on the side of the field, and Orange kicked the ball straight down the middle, and if Cameron brought it towards this side of the field, he'd probably still be running right now. So, once again, Orange gets a little bit of a break, and the frustration level is really increasing on the southern sideline. You know, a little drop pass, a little, you know, right now they got 10 guys on the field, and, you know, we'll see how they answer right now, because the most mature team will win tonight. The team that'll come out of here with the most discipline will be the team that'll come out with success.
17-10, 11:43 remaining to play here in the third quarter. Five in the box. Hinton going to throw out into the left. Screen pass, and again, another drop pass. This is going to be Cameron Johnson. Cameron Johnson, the 5'8", 185-pound senior, has this one knock off his hands. Now that's the fourth pass that Kendall Hinton has seen go through the hands or off the numbers of one of his receivers.
And it's a senior not making a play. That's his second drop tonight, and I think right now that's just forcing Hinton to look just at trial in the passing game, and that's going to make them one-dimensional.
Slot left, single setback. He gets the handoff. Oh, boy. And that's William Cameron. Cameron trying to make up for that drop on the run back. He's going to pick up 12 and get above the 35-yard line, and Kendall Hinton, wasting no time, gets the play from the sideline. 12-yard gain by William Cameron. Hinton organizing his troops. Two to the near slide. Ball on the right hash mark. Two receivers left. Single setback. Looks to the right. Now left. Going to run it himself. Cuts up. Stevenson there to cut him off along with Mark Holt. And a great job again. And the LeMaster, of course, down there to cut him off. And a gain of four.
I think right now what they're doing is they got Patrick Pettiford press technique again up on Maurice Terrell. And on top of him, they're basically double-teaming him because J.D. Brooks is staying on top. And he was trying to get it to him, but there's too much defense there for him, and he had to tuck it down and run. And that, once again, that's a win for Orange.
Four down linemen, three linebackers. Brooks in center field. Single setback. Handoff goes to Tony Bass. Bass with his first carry of the game, and it will go for 11 yards. And Tony Bass finally getting into the action. They're going to mark him back with a knee just over the yards. We'll give him 11 on that play and bring it to the 47-yard line. 10:37 remaining to play here in the third quarter, 17-10 in favor of Orange. As Pettiford runs the opening kickback, 86 yards, and then is able to punch it in from 3 yards out to give the Panthers a 17-10 lead early in the third quarter. Alongside Jason Tudrin, Paul Connell here for the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. Handoff goes Bass, right side, same play, off tackle, bounces outside, knocked out of bounds at the 47-yard line. Let's call it the 46. It'll be a gain of eight. Gain of seven. Bring up second down on a very long three.
Southern's doing a good job of mixing it up. They're getting Bass involved in the running game, Cameron involved in the running game. They've had some success with the counter play early in this drive.
Second down and three, and now here's where you see the big play happen. One-on-one, here's Mason. They look to him, and once again, Kendall Hinton didn't really get himself set on that one. And Hinton, two-step drop, and he was looking for Mason, who was single covered by Piscitelli, as he has been almost all night. And Piscitelli has swapped on and off against Mason and against Trowell, and he's single covered over here on the near side. Short side, single setback, two slot, left, right, five-step drop out of the shotgun, dart thrown in to the left hash mark to Trowell, and on third and three, Trowell will pick up 10 yards to the 36-yard line, and again, Hinton now on the run, and you see the middle of the fielder, the hash mark, so the footing is starting to become a little precarious. As Jeff Hamlin noted before the game, that there were some pock marks and wet spots, and Hinton has found a couple. Out of the shotgun, straight drop, two steps more, steps to his right, flag on the play in the backfield, throws right down the middle of the field in between two receivers. And he was hoping that Mason would be able to run under that one. He was not able to. And you wonder how Kendall Hinton got free back there in his own backfield. Well, there was a big hold as Byron Stevenson was bearing down on him, and one of those big linemen, I think it was Noah Chase, just couldn't get to Stevenson, and he reached out and grabbed him.
Right now they're trying to move Terrell around the field. They put him in the slot that time and had him on a dragging crossing route in the middle of the field. It was covered nicely by Brooks and Piscatelli, and he had to force it, and he had to go down the field with it late and end up getting a holding penalty. He's going to move the ball back, and it looks like it's going to be first and 25 here shortly.
9:30, remaining to play here in the third quarter. It's the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week on 97.9 FM, 1360 AM, and streaming live at chapelboro.com. A happy Thanksgiving and happy Hanukkah to our listening audience. Thanks for joining us here on a beautiful night at Southern High School, but just a little nicer for the Orange Panthers than it is for the Southern Spartans right at this particular moment. And indeed, it is first down and 20 from the 46-yard line. Handoff goes to Cameron. Caught in the backfield, and he's going to bounce outside. He's got a lot of running room, finds second gear, and he's headed to the end zone. Touchdown, Spartans. Wow. 46 yards, and you just cannot miss an opportunity to wrap them up in the backfield when you can. Drew LeMaster came in on a blitz, read that draw perfectly, had him in the backfield for about a 6-yard loss, and William Cameron bounces outside, finds a seam on the left hash, and boy, when he found second gear, he was gone. Outran Kai Muller at about the 15-yard line, right into the end zone, and just that quick at 17-16. As they line up for the extra point, now looks like they are thinking about going to two. But now the holder is Mason. Mason has a touchdown pass this year. Hold, bad snap. Mason, good hands, puts it down. And Orozco able to split the uprights, and we're tied at 17.
I can tell you that as a coach from the Orange side of it, you'd be a little frustrated because the defense worked. They had people in the right spot. LeMaster was there. They made the sack. They had the contact in the backfield. And to credit Cameron, because he's the guy that kind of slipped and bobbled on the kickoff return earlier, he didn't dwell on it. And he made a statement play right there because he ran through the tackle, made somebody miss on the edge, and then he found a gear that most people don't have, and he made it look easy going down the sideline and made the big play to answer right there to tie this thing up.
Wow. Well, we're not even 3 minutes into this thing, Jason, and we've had two beautiful touchdowns set up by the opening kickoff, an 86-yard sprint up the middle of the field, then bouncing to the far to the right sideline by Patrick Pettiford, and then he was able to claim the score one play later, bouncing in from 3 yards out. They just waltzed in from 3 yards out. And then a beautiful sustained drive by Kendall Hinton, and doing a lot of it with the running game, capped by a 46-yard touchdown off a draw where William Cameron caught in the backfield, bounced outside, runs down the left hash mark to the left sideline, where he puts Kai Muller in the dust to tie this game at 17. 9:20 remaining to play in the third quarter. Teeing up at the 40-yard line. Orozco. And you're going to pooch kick this one. Stepping up is Kai Muller, and Kai Muller gets the ball at the 24-yard line, and that is probably the fourth or fifth time this year that we've seen the secondary man or an up man for Orange put his hand in the air for a kick reception. And, with plenty of running room, that's got to make you nuts.
Yeah, I think sometimes as a coach, though, you tell your kids, we just want the ball. Don't try to do too much because the blocking assignments are kind of compromised with that sky kick. And I'm always conservative in that fact. Just give us the football and be able to line up, especially with this offense, to score the ball here.
Well, I stand corrected. I even think with a guy like Kai Muller who has the speed and he's the receiver, you'd think he'd know what to do after he caught it.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we'll go back to it. 9:17 remaining to play at the 24-yard line. Handoff right side. Here's Tay Jones, his first carry, second half. And he's bruised and beaten to dishing out a little punishment of his own. That's his first carry since just late in the first quarter. He had two carries and a reception in the first quarter. Was a little bit of beat up, getting up slow, and really didn't have a whole lot of action in the second quarter. But here in the third quarter, they give the ball to Tade Jones. Tade Jones goes for 6 yards, and it'll be second down and four with 8:48 remaining to play in the third quarter. Score is 17-all. The WCHL High School Football Game of the Week is the third round of the North Carolina High School Athletic Association 3A playoffs, and it is a dandy. Five in the box now here. Pitch, right side, Tay Jones cuts up inside, breaks the first tackle, breaks the second tackle. Looked like the ball's on the ground.
Pitch is to number six,
and it looked like Tay Jones able to cover that one back up. But Tay Jones might be a little slow getting up once again, as this will be probably the third or fourth time that he's been a little slow getting up, holding on to his left ankle. And it looks indeed like Tay Jones. And, you know, here's the thing, and I've told this before, and it always makes me chuckle, that was talking to Bill Renner, former coach of Chapel Hill, now offensive coordinator at Northwood. And he said there's nothing that makes him crazier than a running back or a kick returner or whatever that tries to get those extra 2 yards and puts the ball on the floor. He says, and I said, why do you yell and scream at him? He said, I'm telling you. He said, I've told him before, that's a willful act. I said, fumbling? He goes, yes, that's a willful act. He goes, it's 2 yards. Go down. He said, we need you for the rest of them, not that 2 yards. And I'll tell you, we've seen it this year on a number of occasions, especially with the Spartan defense. They like to swarm, gang tackle, and strip you. Third and two, Tay Jones able to get two more, and now he goes to the sidelines. 1 second left on the play clock, and they just barely get it off. Handoff, left side, LeMaster swarmed under at the 30-yard line. He's going to lose two, and once again, as soon as the Panthers get a play that goes east-west instead of north-south, whenever they're forced to bounce outside, that defensive penetration of this Spartans defense, they're able to get them in the backfield and force longer yardage. It's going to bring up fourth down, and it's going to be fourth down and four, and we're going to see our first punt of the game.
And I tell you, right now you got Maurice Troll in the back to receive this punt. Arms be wise not to kick the ball to him. And it'll be interesting to see how Tay Jones responds here, because he was a little ginger at the halftime, watched him warm up a little bit, and he went out on that big third down play. So we'll see where this thing goes.
Seth Mathis, great job, kicks to the sideline, and doesn't really get a friendly bounce here. A little extracurricular activity at midfield, as Jack LeMaster was involved in a Greco-Roman wrestling match there at midfield, and no comment from the official. But, Seth Mathis does a good job of kicking that one toward the right sideline. Didn't quite get the bounce he wants. And Kendall Hinton will get the ball on his own 42-yard line. And quickly, let's go on down to we'll come out after the next play, and we'll talk to Jeff Hamlin. First and 10 from the 42, Hinton. Just off a 46-yard run from William Cameron that tied this thing up. Spartans have the ball once again. Here's where they're dangerous. Going to keep it himself. It's a naked keeper right up the middle, and nobody fooled on Orange. In fact, they almost got him in the backfield. It'll be a gain of three and bring up second down and seven. Quickly, down to Jeff Hamlin.
Guys, you're talking about Tate Jones right now. He appears to be tired, and these are some – exhausted skill players for Orange. Pat Pettiford came off the field after that kick return. He was really breathing heavily because he's having to play defense and defend Trow as well as play offense.
6:30 remaining to play. Throw out in the flat. Ball popped up in the air, and it's intended for Kerry Ivory. Ivory caught the ball and then was separated from it by Jack LeMaster. LeMaster, 5'6", 160. He put all 160 into the back numbers, the 81 there of Ivory. Ball popped up in the air and was nearly intercepted by J.D. Brooks. Brings up third down and seven.
And Drew LeMaster blitzed through there and made a hit on Hinton to really cause that ball to be thrown a little bit earlier than anticipated.
Third and seven. Here's where Hinton's dangerous. Never know if he's going to run or throw. Pressure. Screen pass, right side. They got him in the backfield. It's Jordan Brown. He escapes, middle of the field, still loose, breaks three tackles. He's got one man to beat. over the 30, to the 25, still on his feet, tight ropes to sidelines, 10-5, touchdown, Spartans back up on top. And the coaching staff for Orange is irate. And you know what, Jason? They may have cause to be, because Jordan Brown had one man to beat at about the 30-yard line, and he had a block out front, and it looked like there was some dancing going on.
Well, I tell you, you know, talked about willful acts a little bit earlier with regards to fumbles, and, you know, tackling's a willful act as well, and there was some really, really poor tackling by the Orange perimeter there, because, you know, Brown made a heck of a run, but he had a couple guys dive at his feet and kind of wait for somebody else to make a play, and that's a huge mistake right there, because they had him dead to rights on the last two touchdowns. Now Orange had him first contact in the backfield, and Southern's had two ball players with Brown and Cameron that break off and make some spectacular plays to score this thing and flip the scoreboard here in favor of Southern.
Orozco gets the top of this one and lines it through the uprights, low line drive, and the score is 24-17 in favor of the Spartans, as Jordan Brown able to break off a 54-yard run off a screen pass, catches it behind the line of scrimmage, breaks two tackles, goes to the middle of the field at midfield in between the hash marks, breaks two more tackles, and is able to outrun the secondary with a little help from some downfield blocking by Kerry Ivory, made up for a drop ball previously. And he stays on his feet at the 20, spins around at the 10, and then dances the rest of the way in. And these Spartans up 24-17. This is their first lead of the ball game at 6:20 remaining to play in the third quarter.
As I said earlier, I think the most mature team is going to win this game tonight and be able to handle the roller coaster of emotions. And a little bit earlier in the second half, Orange was on that side of it. They had the emotions behind them with the long kickoff return, and now Southern's had two really big electric plays that have unified this crowd and this sideline to get them the momentum. Now it's time for Orange to be able to answer in this drive here.
Orozco teed up with 40, and it's Pooch onside. And it is fair caught by Jack LeMaster. And I think there was Orozco. He really meant to kick that a little further than he did and ended up barely going the 10 yards and ended up going about 11, and LeMaster just threw his hand up in the air and said, let me just cover this up like a big bear and let's give back to the offense. But, you know, Jeff Hamlin, our last report from the sideline, mentioned how tired these players are from Orange, as they are forced to, because of the speed of the Spartans, they're forced to have a number of guys play both ways. Here come the Panthers. Clower under center. At the 44, single setback, LeMaster. Slot right, handoff, LeMaster. Right, off tackle, carrying the pile with him. And three trying to tackle, two trying to strip. And it'll be a gain of 6 yards and brings up second down and four. Great job again by Michael Bolden to cover that ball, not let him strip, and he goes down when he should, right at midfield, after a gain of 6 yards.
That's a great play for them. This is the whole game. I think he's run it four times. He's got close to 30 yards probably in running that play, and it's a statement play. It's a statement saying, you know, we're still here. We're going to fight. We're going to continue to compete in this football game. That's a good first down call for Orange.
Bolden, the single setback once again. He's at the 45. The ball's at midfield. Artrell Stewart split wide to the near side. Tay Jones in the slot. Whistle before the snap. And I think we're going to have another delay of game. It's the second one by Orange. And they're just going to have to do this a little quicker, because that's a critical mistake.
It's difficult for Clower because he's looking for direction on the sidelines. They double call their plays, so their coaches are signaling it a possibly a different play, and it's taking a little bit longer for communication to happen, and it makes it now a second and nine, and it was a second and manageable situation prior to this.
So negates a great run by Michael Bolden, brought up second and four where you can do almost anything, and now second and nine, you got to put your hard hat on and go back to work. Bolden, fake the handoff, play action. Straight drop, throws across the middle, has a man, complete. That's Kai Muller, at the 42-yard line, swarmed under by three defenders. He goes over the 40, gets to the 39, and that is a pass good for 16 yards. And it's a first down for Kai Muller. And whoa, what a great throw by Clower. He put that thing right on the button in the midst of three defenders.
Right through the washing machine. I mean, that thing was zipping through, and it was a great catch by Muller, because it was a safety and two linebackers right around him. So excellent job of execution there by Orange on second and long.
Well, he did a great job of coming back to the ball, caught it with his hands and brought it in. Only he was going to catch it. Here's Bolden, handoff right up the middle. Rumbling, bumbling over the 35, down to the 33-yard line. As Bolden's knee goes down after a gain of seven, and then make it second down and three. And boy, Bolden, if he can do that on first down, that really opens up some other options for
you. Got to keep feeding that guy, because right now he's running with an attitude, and there's not too many people on the southern side of the defense that want to really, you know, ram into him on this chilly evening here at Southern Durham High School.
No, it doesn't get any better. Mark Holt, 5'6", 215. He's the single setback on this one. One in the slot, right side. Two receivers. Mark Holt had taken himself. Holt get the handoff off the right side. That's just a little relief there. Get somebody a breather. Holt built low to the ground. He has a low profile there. And the junior gets, we're going to give him maybe half a yard. It's still third down and a very long two.
Interesting call there. Holt hadn't been playing much offense tonight, and now he's in an – and it's probably a lead blocker for Pettifer here as Orange lines up in an I formation.
I formation, slot right. Receivers to the left and right. Ball right in the middle of hash marks. Handoff goes Patrick Pettifer. Instead of running straight ahead, he tries to bounce it outside, then goes right back to the middle. He's going to be close to the first down. But, boy, you really see the difference there between a power back and a finesse back. As, you know, we were wondering if Michael Bolden maybe got dinged up on his last carry, because you'd expect him to be doing the damage. He was able to get to the 30-yard line. Wow, that is not a friendly spot at all. Pettiford may have lost his footing and gone down. It's going to be fourth down and about a half a yard from the 30-yard line. And you got to think, much as he did in the first half, Jason, that Garrett Clower's got to be saying, I'll take this myself.
Absolutely. That's got to be the call here.
24-17, fourth down, half a yard. 3 minutes remaining to play in the third quarter. Nope, going to hand off Patrick Pettiford. He's caught behind the line. Dances outside. Jason, I don't think he got it.
It's going to be an interesting spot over there.
Well, you got the referee who's on the near side of the field, really as far away from the action as you can get. He called it at the 30. And then the referee who is close to the action, they're not even going to call a measurement here. They're going to say he is short, and literally short by half a football, if that. And they're not even going to measure. They're just going to give the ball to the Spartans. And, you know, Jason, I didn't think he got it.
No, he did a great job. Initially, it looked like he had the forward progress to get to it. But Southern's defense in the second level did a great job of stepping up in the hole with their linebacker and core and making a huge stop here with 2:52 left in the third quarter.
Well, and, you know, everybody who loses to the Spartans, they know they were in the game, and they were in the game well for a good long time, as we're 2:52 remaining to play here in the third quarter, and Spartans up 24-17. They wonder where it got away from them. It's plays like this where they get the turnover, and then can you stop them? You're going to go down the field, right sideline. Intended for Mason. Mason, guarded by Piscitelli, step by step. He overthrows him by about 7 yards and brings up second down and 10. And once again, Piscitelli up to the task there.
He really is. You know, it's funny. I think Piscitelli baits guys into throws because he lines up in press. But prior to the snap, he starts to back up a little bit. And it's a long throw to this side of the field because it's the wide side of the field. And that's where a win for Orange right there, because it makes it second and long with a low percentage throw there.
Four in the box. Two coming up on the blitz. That's LeMaster. High snap, fielded by Hinton. They get Jordan Brown in the backfield. And he breaks free again. LeMaster chases him out of bounds. Jack LeMaster chases him out of bounds at the 37-yard line. We'll see where they mark it. He's close to the first down. But, boy, you know, fundamentals of tackling. You can hit somebody all you want, but you got to wrap them up. Yep. And you can't hit them. You can't wrap them up shoulder high either.
You know, Bryce Wilson penetrated again on the blitz. They're having a hard time blocking this front for Orange, and he was there to make a play for what would have been a 3 or 4 yard loss. And it's frustrating for the Orange defensive staff, because most of their penetration's happening, and they're missing tackles that they have to make in this game.
8-yard carry. Jordan Brown, Drew LeMaster, finally able to chase him out of bounds at the 43-yard line, and Southern Durham's going to take a timeout. Southern Durham going to take a timeout. We'll take it with them. A quick 60-second break. 2:19 remaining to play here in the third quarter. Listen to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. 24-17 in the third round of the state playoffs. We'll be back.
Will you be our neighbor? If you or someone you know is moving or building a home in Chapel Hill, Harrington Bank is your first stop in financing your new dream home. Harrington Bank offers competitive rates and products for construction loans, renovation loans, home equity loans, and refinancing options. Let's be neighbors and give us a call today. Harrington Bank is conveniently located at Southern Village, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
1 in 5 Americans will develop skin cancer in their lifetime. Central Dermatology Center treats cancers where it is important to conserve tissue and high-risk areas such as the ears, face, hands, and feet. Mohs micrographic surgery is a highly effective technique and can be covered by most insurances, including Medicare and TRICARE. Dr. Beth Goldstein has been specializing in Mohs surgery since 2008. If you're concerned about a non-healing spot or a changing mole, make an appointment at Central Dermatology Center. Find out more at centralderm.net.
Welcome back. 2:19 left in the third. Screen pass left side. Looking left, throwing right. Kendall Hinton finds Maurice Trowell. Trowell out of the backfield at the 40, across the 45 to midfield, and out of the 45. Finally pushed out of bounds at the 43-yard line. And it'll be a first down on 3rd and 2. By the Spartans as they come out with a really smart play.
It really was. Good call at the timeout. They got Trial into the field. They put him in the slot and just ran a simple 5-yard out, and he's tough to catch in space. And that was a good call by the Southern offense.
And making use of the big space on the open side of the field. Got him one-on-one. Pistelli finally pushes him out of bounds. Ball on now the 43, 1st and 10. Delayed handoff right up the middle. Here's Tony Bass. Bass at the 40-yard line, out of the 45, is going to be pushed out of bounds at the 42, but it looks like there's going to be some grappling and holding in the backfield, or right at the line of scrimmage for the Spartans, which are going to negate. Oh, no, hold on now. Oh, they're going to call a block below the knees here.
Usually what happens when they have those pulling offensive linemen, and at the college level, the kids are taught to cut them out low underneath to basically waste the block so the pulling guard or the pulling tackle doesn't get to his destination. In that case there, it's hard to tell when that guy from Orange slipped or not, or he did it. You know, it was one of those calls in that situation where you usually don't see, especially in a third-round playoff game.
Wow, so that's a big penalty. Once again, the third big penalty for Orange. They're going to call that block below the knees, and it will be 15 yards from the end of the run. So 15 yards tacked on, and it brings the ball down to the 18-yard line of Orange. Orange now on their heels, 1:55 and counting in the third quarter. Down 7, Hinton wants some more. Cameron in motion, right to left, handoff goes Bass right up the middle. He stopped after a gain of 1, make it 2nd down and 9. Bass getting a lot more interest in his skills here in the third quarter. That's his 4th run of just the third quarter. And right back on the ball goes Kendall Hinton. 2nd down and 9 with 1:25 remaining to play. Ball down on in the third quarter, rather, and the ball down on the 23-yard line of the Panthers. Bass, single setback, out of the pistol, shotgun. 2 steps pass, right across the middle, picked off. Picked off, J.D. Brooks. Brooks with the interception. That's Colin Pope in the middle of the field, across the hash mark, and runs it all the way out to the 35-yard line. And, Jason, it goes back to what you were talking about at halftime about Kendall Hinton. He tends to settle into patterns. He tends to look for his favorite receiver and look at him right away. That time, he looked at Mason the entire time he headed down the field, running that little hitch and post, and he was, had his eyes locked on Derek Mason. Well, Colin Pope was locked on his eyes, stepped right in front of that ball at the 2-yard line, and brings it out to the 38-yard line of the Panthers. Wow, dodge another bullet. Orange.
Big play by the senior Pope stepping across the field there and making a huge interception.
Five-step drop. Fake the short. Go out in the flat. Pass complete. Kai Muller at the 45-yard line. A lot of physicality going on in the second half of this ball game as the Spartans really have come out firing in this second half and have walked the line on a lot of these hits.
And I tell you, Orange is doing the last two series now. They've started with a really good first down play, and they've shot themselves in the foot with a delay of game penalty or a lack of execution in a blocking scheme. So we'll see if they can get this drive going with probably the last play of the third quarter here.
Under 20 seconds remaining to play in the third, 24-17. Panthers down 7. Ball's on their own 45. Kai Muller letting the clock run. He will have to run another play here. Handoff goes Michael Bolden. Bolden gets back to the line of scrimmage. He's tripped up. There's an excellent penetration there by Khalif Dean. At 5'10", 245, he was able to get in underneath and knock down Michael Bolden. And that will be the end of the third quarter of play. The Southern Spartans pretty happy about their ability to hold, bend but don't break this defense. This Orange offense trying to gather up some of that momentum it had in the first two quarters. And get back on the board, 24-17. We're at the end of three quarters. Let's go down and talk to Jeff Hamlin.
Guys, Colin Pope last week changed the shape of the Cleveland game. Cleveland was down only 3, and on an onside kick, they wound up recovering it. They were driving down the field, got to the Orange 20, and then Colin Pope picked off a pass in the end zone. And after that, Orange wound up scoring and really salted the game away. No doubt, if Orange can somehow come out on top in this game, it will be Colin Pope playing a huge role because of it, picking off a pass in the end zone when Southern Durham was trying to make it a 2-touchdown game. Pope is used to making big plays. He's the baseball player for the Orange High team that wound up going to the Eastern Regional Championship round last year, and he made a huge play just a moment ago.
Well, you're looking in that defensive backfield. You got A.J. Bradshard, Bryce Wilson, of course, Colin Pope, and J.D. Brooks. And those are guys that will step up, and they will do some damage when you need a big play. And, of course, Colin Pope there keeping the Panthers in this game because of how tight this one's been. Two scores. That could be the death penalty.
You're exactly right, and it's a big third down play here. It's about 3rd and 4, right about midfield for Orange here, and they're lined up in that I backfield again with big Bolden at fullback and Pettiford again at the I back.
So, again, Bolden.
Excuse me, Jones, I believe, is at the I
yep,
back.
Bolden, first man through in the I. 3rd and 4, final 12 minutes frame. Pitch, right side. Tay Jones breaks midfield, spins. Ball still on the right arm, trying to strip him, trying to throw him out of bounds. They're going to give him forward motion to the 48-yard line. It will be a gain of about 7 as they will mark the ball at the 49. And, wow, that's not a friendly spot at all, Jason, because he got up to about the 47-yard line. They got him marked back all the way at midfield.
Yeah, Jones, to his credit, I mean, he scraps and claws for every inch, and he almost got to be smart in certain situations and lessen some of those impacts because there's a chance for him to cost the football out. In that case, he busted a tackle but ran backwards about 2 yards and ended up losing 2. So big first down there for Orange, though, and executing, getting that ball at midfield here as we cross into some crucial territory here in the fourth quarter.
50 yards to pay dart, 24-17. Orange led this entire game till that big 46-yard run by Jordan Brown put Spartans up in the third quarter, 24-17. Pitch right side, ball's on the ground. 47-yard line, and that's the first real offensive mistake by the Panthers as Tay Jones a little beat up, and he saw that pitch coming to him, and he took his eye off for just a second, hit him right in the chest.
That's exactly what he did. He looked at the blocking scheme more than he was looking at the football, and it's the same play they ran on 3rd and 5, and it ends up being now about a 4-yard loss here, and now Clover's going to have to do something possibly in the play-action game to get them the ball down the field here.
Second down and 14, I think, what Clover needs to remember and Archie needs to remember is, look, they've been four down territory the whole time. You still have three plays to get 14 yards.
That's
Don't
exactly
get excited
right.
here. Double slot. Bolden, single setback, three-step drop, looking across the middle. A little screen pass to Tay Jones. Stopped at midfield, clobbered by two tacklers. And Jones will get up as he got back to the original line of scrimmage. And now, you know, you talked about poise and the ability to maintain composure. And now that's where you need to look at Tay Jones, because he started the yip and yap with some of the secondary. He started the yip and yap with the Spartan sidelines. He's taken his eye off the ball one time, and you got to wonder, are they getting in his head?
You got to be mature here. This is an important football game, and you don't get points for doing any of that stuff. So it's important that they stay on the task at hand here.
10-20, everybody up. Clower drops. Got a single man pressing him, rolling to his right. Rule wants to take it himself. Wow, he's pounded at midfield at the line of scrimmage. And that was a helmet-to-helmet hit. As a big, big hit at midfield on Clower. He's slow to get up. He's not going to gain a yard on that. It'll bring up 4th and 10. But I'll tell you what, coming up to give him a big pounding.
That was a great job by Clower not throwing that football, because it was a screen, and there was linemen downfield. If he did throw it, it would have been a penalty. Looks like he's going to possibly have to come out of the game here, because Clower did pop up after he took the hit right in front of the Southern bench. And this home crowd got behind the Southern defense. He did make it to his sideline, but it looked like he had to take a knee here and catch a break here as we go into this crucial fourth down with 9:39 left in the fourth quarter.
Dominique Mims, 5'9", 176, came up from his linebacker spot and just laid an absolute lacing on Garrett Clower. And so Orange is going to have to take a timeout here and figure out what's next. But it is 4th and 10 at midfield. And while we take this break, let's go on down to Jeff Hamlin. Jeff? Jeff Hamlin.
An official timeout. And Garrett is down right now, right in front of me. Right after Garrett took that hit, Josh Keel, the backup quarterback, went right into the game. Orange looks like they're going to go for this here. But first of all, Garrett couldn't even make it to the sideline, and he is still seated probably a good 10 feet from the sideline here, and right now the trainers are going to help him up, and Garrett gets up under his own power.
Well, you talk about
he's going to have to sit out this play.
But Jeff,
and right now Coach Moser is out diagramming a play here, but it looks like Seth Mathis is going to go in the game for Orange to punt the ball away.
Well, you know, Jeff, we talked about this in the preseason, actually. We talked about Josh Keel practicing with Cedar Ridge and anticipating being their starting quarterback for the first week or 2 weeks with that program, then going to going over here Orange because he wanted to play baseball. And what an advantage that would give to Orange, having him as a backup quarterback. Looks like we may be seeing him shortly. So, but right now, Mathis on the field, take the ball at his 40. He kicks a beautiful spiral over the head of Maurice Trowell. At the 10, the 8, a roll to the 7. Outstanding job by Mathis to launch probably the best kick of the whole second half of the season for him. And the big man, Seth Mathis, at 6'4", 220, Rick Roby-like.
Yeah, it really was. He put it down, and it looked like Trowell was going to be able to get to it, but it carried right over his head and rolled up inside about the 6-yard line, it looked like. And that's a huge break for Orange. Great execution by the punt because, you know, Trowell's a dangerous return man, so that's a huge flip-flop of field position right there.
Well, and that's that might be the play of the second half, depending on what Orange is able to make out of this, or rather what the Spartans are able to make out of this. They have the ball back on their own 7-yard line, 1st and 10, 9:25 remaining to play here in the game. 24-17, Hinton from out of the shadow of his own end zone. Hands off to Jordan Brown. Brown over the 5, and then he's swarmed under by LeMaster, Bryce Wilson, and J.D. Brooks coming up from his safety spot. It'll be, I really don't think he got anything, Jason.
No, they've done a great job with that counter play. You know, they pull the off guard and the offensive tackle to one side of the field and try to outnumber the defense to that side. And Orange did a great job with Bryce Wilson setting the edge there and stringing it out to on the perimeter.
8:50 remaining to play. 2nd down and 10. Here's where Kendall Hinton is dangerous. Drop back and look for the seam up the middle. He does, steps up, gets rid of the first tackler. He's on the run. Gets over the 10-yard line, probably to the 12, and the first man to get him was Jack LeMaster. But again, he's able to make three defenders miss him before he finally goes down. That time he gains 5 yards and will bring up third down and five.
Orange prevented. It's been the curse for them in the second half is the explosive play, the play that's gone for 40 or 50 when it looks like it's only going to go for five. They did a good job of tackling Hinton there to make it third and five.
Digging in up front, Mark Holt. Holt with a little penetration. Hinton throws across the middle, has a man. Complete at the 27-yard line. He threw an absolute dart and was able to find Derek Mason. And Mason, he hadn't had a lot today, but he's had one there, and that was important. That was a great catch, and it brings the Spartans out of a big hole at their 12-yard line. It's a gain of 15 yards for a first down. It's going to be a gain of 17 yards for a first down out at the 29-yard line.
First time Mason really got free tonight across the middle of the field and ended up making a huge catch on third and five to be able to carry the full out. Now Southern can work this clock a little bit here as they let it drift down to inside 5 seconds on the play clock.
Six in the box, out of the pistol, fake the draw. Oh, Hinton wanted to take it himself and loses his footing on the left hash mark. He drops to a knee at the 25-yard line, 7:30 and running, as now it will be second down and 12 for the Spartans. And, you know, they talk about the domino theory of, you know, it worked so well for Orange in the first half. They were able to contain Hinton, and it really it cut down his options passing and throwing in the first half. Well, he's been able to get loose here in the second half, and it opens up his throwing options and opens up this offensive unit of the Spartans. 7 minutes remaining to play and running. Out of the pistol, shotgun, three steps past, and the middle of the field, Hinton in trouble. Stevenson tries to get him. Screen pass to William Cameron. Cameron catches the ball at the 25, gets about 5 more yards. It'll be an aggregate gain of 4, and that'll make it third down and 9. And this, I would have to say, has got to be the defensive play of the game here for Orange.
It absolutely is. It's 6:40 right now left in the fourth quarter. And right now they're trying to get the ball to Trawl down the field deep that time. Hinton did an amazing job of escaping pressure to be able to find Cameron in his check down to make it a positive play.
Out of the pistol once again. Two receivers left, two to the right. Bad snap, slow snap. Under four-man pressure, he throws left flat. Complete. Murray's Trowell. Trowell got the ball at the 39 and then pirouetted ahead across the 40-yard line to the 41, and they will mark him out of bounds at the 42-yard line. And that is a first down and a big first down for the Spartans.
Very good job by Hinton there. He had Mason deep down the field, possibly springing free on Piscatelli, but he realized it was third down and 8, and he hit the check down underneath to Trowell and ended up getting 11 yards for a first down.
6:17 remaining to play here in the fourth quarter. The clock now the Panthers' enemy. Fresh set of downs at the 42-yard line for Hinton. He will let the play clock run down under 10. 8-7 out of the shotgun. Back to the right, hands off, second man through. That's William Cameron. Cameron wrapped up at the 45-yard line, and now Pat Moser got to start to think about taking some timeouts here.
Yeah, quite possibly. And, you know, they've done a good job on first, second down, third down has been the key for them. And, you know, it's second and medium here for Southern, and Southern hasn't been able to run the football consistently tonight, and Orange is going to have to try to make a stop here.
Two receivers to the right, one to the left. Short side receiver. That's Mason. Two in the backfield. With Hinton. Hinton. Fake the handoff. Blitz! Blindside! Hammered! In there to get him, Colin Pope! Colin Pope comes out of nowhere, hammers Kendall Hinton for a 9-yard loss.
Well, I tell you, Southern Durham was trying to go for the knockout punch right there with a little bit of play action, try to throw the football down deep to either Trowell or Mason, and they didn't have enough people left to block. They released too many people, and Southern brought 7 people on the blitz, which is what you have to do in this situation, and they caught another senior stepping up in Colin Pope, making a big sack on Hinton there.
Boy, a Palomalu blitz from Colin Pope. Knocks him back for 8 yards to the 36-yard line. Hinton under pressure again. Throws that little inside screen to Maurice Trowell. Trowell gets to the line of scrimmage, maybe one more, and it's going to be fourth down. fourth down and 13. Hinton still on the field.
Wow. I don't know if they have a punter or not, because it looks like they're just lined up to run an offensive play here with four minutes left in the game.
They're lining up to do, and you gotta wonder if there's a quick kick on the menu, because now they're replacing centers.
Yeah, they're putting the new center, and it looks like Hinton may be the guy that's punting it, but he's only about 7 or 8 yards back. Could be an opportunity, one of those long, tall defensive linemen
play
for Orange to put their hand in there and block it.
Play clock at 3, and it is a quick kick, but back there to get it, J.D. Brooks.
Here comes that wide return.
Left side, hash mark, no flags, up the running room, tight rope of the sidelines to the 45, knocked out of bounds at the 40-yard line. And, boy, there are some Spartan defenders that are holding some knees and catching a breath, because the Panthers did a great job of getting back and setting up a run on that one.
They've been known for that. There's their tradition. They run that wall return traditionally to their sideline, and they look like a giant centipede of white shirts going down that hash mark. And Brooks is excellent to be able to catch that football and slide down the left sideline in that case. And that's a huge flip of possession there, because, you know, that big second down call by Orange, where they were trying to run play action and they get sacked by Pope, ends up being a third and long play, and now they run the screen and they get the huge stop, and Brooks gets the huge return to get them the ball on the 44-yard line with 3:40 left in the game.
There's an injured player down on the field, 3:40 remaining to play in the contest, and this is it for Orange. They got to 44 yards to tie this thing up, or potentially take it to the house and move on to the state semifinals. Let's go on down and talk to Jeff Hamlin. Jeff, what do you know?
Well, Garrett Flower is going back into the game for Orange, or whatever hurt him a moment ago. He has managed to shake off, and he is going to ride this one out, win or lose here for the Panthers. And Orange obviously going for a game-tying score with 3:40 remaining. Huge return by J.D. Brooks. He set up a touchdown in the Rocky Mount game with a 46-yard return. That was a blowout win, and this is the second time in this half we've seen the Orange special teams come up huge.
Well, he was two gray jerseys from taking that one inside, and would have been able to tie this game up, but it's 24-17. Wasn't until the third quarter, 6 minutes and change left in the third quarter, that the Spartans were able to get their first lead, and they have held on to it with their eye teeth. Slot left, handoff, left side, and it's Bryce Wilson, who's actually under the controls for Orange, as Garrett Clower has not been able to come out and answer the bell here.
It looks like he's on the sideline with his helmet on. They got sophomore linebacker quarterback Bryce Wilson, who's an excellent football player, playing quarterback for him here now.
So Bryce Wilson now in at quarterback. Josh Keel, we have not seen him. Bryce Wilson wants to throw it. Going to step up in the pocket. Oh, and he's going to be sacked.
He's taken down. Number 7, Todd Spivey.
Todd Spivey able to get in, collect Bryce Wilson. Now the clock runs at 2:55, and it'll be third down and 12. And Bryce Wilson, a little too indecisive there. If you're going to run it, run it. If you're going to throw it, throw it. Otherwise,
tough spot to be in right now for a sophomore to come in with, you know, the 3 minutes left in the state playoff third-round game, hostile environment, and it's got all the things against them right now. Let's hopefully set up and make a play here.
Play action. Right side, throw it down the middle. It's going to be picked off. Bad throw, Bryce Wilson. Intercepted. 30, 20, 10. Touchdown. It looked like Marvin Tillman. Tillman read the route by Kai Muller down the middle. Bryce Wilson wound up like he was going to throw a fastball. And Tillman read his eyes perfectly, stepped in front of that one, and took it 70 yards for what may be the crusher here, Jason Tudrin.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think early in the game, Tillman, didn't play that same exact play correctly, and he attacked the ball on the play fake. This time he maintained his depth, and he read the eyes of the quarterback and, took it to the house to be able to make this a two-score game with 2 minutes left in the game.
2:15 remaining in this one. And there's a whistle on the field. And it will be
timeout Panthers.
Orange taking a timeout.
That's a tough position. They may not have had enough people on the field, but right now timeouts are extremely valuable in this case, especially with 2 minutes left in the game.
Wow, what a play by Marvin Tillman. And let's see if we can go on down to Jeff Hamlin and find out just what happened to Garrett Kloer and why Josh Keel didn't enter the contest.
Well, last week, guys, and I apologize for the mistake earlier, obviously Garrett was not going back in the game, and that's obviously my error, but Garrett is still being checked on here along the sidelines. And last week, during practice, it was Wilson getting the carries at second string, and it was not Bryce. So it was somewhat of a surprise, or excuse me, not Josh Keel. So obviously that was what Coach Moser felt like was the best thing to do, and he's just going by what's been happening in practice over the course of the week.
2:15 remaining to play here in the contest, 32-17. Leonardo Orozco on to make it 14. Bad snap, good hold. Great kick. 2:15 remaining to play in this one, Jason Tudrin. Two scores, and your backup quarterback on the field. This is a tough, tough road to hoe for these Panthers.
Yeah, and you've got to point out the positive to the kids. You know, they've great on special teams, got a great kicker. They've almost returned one for a touchdown earlier in this game, and this could flip really quickly in favor of Orange with Pettiford and Jones back deep. They could burst one deep. And the next thing you know, it's a minute 45 left in the game, and it's still a one-score game. So there's a lot of football left to play there in this game, and we'll see where it turns out.
Well, you have to remember also that it was a one-score game. It was a one-score game late in their previous contest. And actually, the Spartans, up one score, made the mistake of going down and scoring the second one, and gave Orange a chance to score and do the onside kick and tie it up. Orange did score and try the onside kick, was not able to make it happen. But, you know, this Spartan team, they continually want to pour it on. They have here at 31-17. But, again, you go back to, you know, the drives that Kendall Hinton was able to put together, the key penalties for the Panthers and how they were able to keep it alive. Here's a pooch kick at the 30-yard line. It'll be fielded by Archrell Stewart. Stewart, spin, still on his feet, knocked out of bounds at the 41-yard line. And so with 2 minutes and 10 seconds possibly left in the season, and the ball at the 42-yard line, let's see who's going to come out to take the controls here for this Panther offense. It will be, again, Bryce Wilson. Wilson, who has had a remarkable day on defense, take the controls as a lot of the Orange faithful starting to file out. 2:10 remaining to play here in this third round North Carolina High School Athletic Association contest. Straight drop, Bryce Wilson. Now he's under pressure, and he's going to be sacked. Going to be sacked back at the 35-yard line. 2 minutes and ticking. And the Panthers need to get back up on the ball. Bryce Wilson has to run over to the left hash mark to get the play. This is going to be another 15 seconds off the clock.
They ran four verticals down the field, and, you know, Wilson's run probably 80 yards round trip, given from the play to the huddle.
Wow.
It's just taking a lot of time right now for Orange to be able to have any chance in the rest of this game.
Jason, they've lost 30 seconds on this play alone. You'd think they'd have somebody run the play in from the sideline. Bryce Wilson had to go all the way over to the last hash mark, and from 202 to 122, 40 seconds, clock still ticking. Bryce Wilson at the 35. Out left side, looking down the field, and it's to Patrick Pettiford, throws it short at the 40-yard line, dropped, stopped the clock at 114, but it brings up third down and 19. And just, you know, with the exceptional caliber of play that we've seen for three and a half quarters it's just such a shame to see this game end this way with the Panthers not at full strength.
Yeah, it's tough to see your junior quarterback go out in the fourth quarter. He's trying to make a play and, hasn't been able to come back into the game. And, you know, for a player like Wilson, who's such a great football player, he's a really good defensive player, and he's thrown into a tough spot, and it looks like he's having a hard time handling the offense right now, and rightly so. He hasn't been playing there much of the season.
Well, the Spartans defense just putting their ears back and going for the ball. Here's the completion, right side, little hook pattern by Archrell Stewart. Loses the ball, and it's picked up by Tay Jones. 1 minute remaining, and the clock will stop briefly with the first down. As the great job of presence of mind of Tay Jones to pick that ball up. And actually, I mean, it actually looked like Archrell Stewart actually handed it back to him.
It looked like they were trying to set up a hook and ladder there. And
it's a great job because he caught the ball 17 yards, and then Tay Jones able to take it another two, stop the clock briefly, 54 and counting. Double slot, quick drop, slant pattern. Archrell Stewart, one man to beat in the middle. He beats him. Brought down from behind by William Cameron. Quickly, Panthers need to get on the ball. 40 seconds left. Time, the clock will stop. Ball is down at the 18-yard line. Panthers still with a couple of teeth in their head. They're trying to make this into a game. They need to get into the end zone quickly.
They've got to be smart with their clock management here because the clock will start in about 3 seconds here when the official blows it ready for play. They got to get the ball snapped within 2 seconds after that.
Bryce Wilson. He's going to take this, straight drop, looking across, right side. Archrell Stewart's there. He's going to get to the end zone. Touchdown, Panthers. A great job by Bryce Wilson to realize that there was a mismatch in coverage on the right side. Archrell Stewart took 4 steps, and it looked like Jordan Brown ran into Josh Manns.
That's exactly what happened.
Brown runs into defense. Manns, and Brown goes down. He was the primary coverage on the play. Archrell Stewart was naked at the 15-yard line, catches the ball, and walked into the end zone. He was so shocked, it looked like he was like somebody who looked like you're going to miss an open layup.
You're exactly right. He was so tired from the previous play that he kind of came off the line of scrimmage. Stewart, that is, pretty slow, and then the two defenders for Southern ran into each other, and he was wide open and hustled into the end zone to make this a one-score game with 28 seconds left.
28 seconds, and we're not done. 31-24. Panthers on the board. Bryce Wilson playing both ways.
I tell you, and they've had enough practice with their onside kick because they've had 3 of them tonight. This isn't over yet, folks.
Wow, unbelievable. Jeff Hamlin, what do you think, my friend?
Well, this is some comeback, and this is a resilient team, obviously. And Archrell Stewart now has touchdown catches in 4 consecutive games for the Panthers. And it's remarkable how this team refuses to quit. And this is really some performance by Bryce Wilson because you have to remember, he's coming off a concussion of his own that he just suffered last week in the first quarter of the game against Cleveland. In fact, he did not even see the second half of the game against Cleveland because he was being treated at a nearby hospital in Clayton. So this is remarkable that Orange can even make this comeback. And it's also remarkable they can do this while the Southern Durham band continues to play while the offense, Orange offense, exclusively is on the field.
The Orange band, Southern Durham band, entertaining as always, but they got some lungs over there playing
it
up.
You. And that's amazing. That's it. If Bryce had that concussion, he probably didn't practice that much this week. It's even more amazing the fact he's playing so well out there tonight.
Hands team on the field for Southern Durham. 28-6 remaining to play. Brad Barbie teeing it up at the 40. He's got 8 guys. Get a big hop.
Got a hop.
It's up in the air. It's loose. Who's got it? Wrestling match at the 43-yard line. The ball was loose. It was a jump ball. It was a terrific double hop onside kick. You want to get that quick skip 3 yards, and then at the 6, you want to get a pop up in the air. They did. And the coaching staff is on the field for Southern Durham, which they don't belong on there. Some extra players on the field for Southern Durham. They want to watch that. And it looks as though indeed Cameron Johnson was able to come out of there with this one. Boy, you cannot get any closer than that, as it looked as though LeMaster almost had himself a jump ball there at the 45-yard line, But with 28-6 remaining to play, it looks as though Southern Durham is going to be able to salt this one away.
That was a great kick. You couldn't have asked for a better kick or better execution. And both teams competed extremely well for the ball. Number six for Southern Durham made an amazing attempt. It was actually his second onside recovery of the night. And that was a really great effort by him tonight.
Kendall Hinton will kneel it down. Orange will take a timeout and stop the clock with 20.9. But now, how big is that timeout that they had to take?
Yeah.
Earlier, the one they had to take earlier in the half, and that one they had to take after the long interception return for
a
touchdown before the PAT. Wow. Bring up second down and 12 with 20.9 remaining to play. And Pat Moser's, look, you've been over there in this situation.
Sure.
What do you tell your kids other than, look, guys, let's have integrity in class, but just let's be ready just in case something untoward happens, the miracle in the Meadowlands.
Sure. I think the most important thing, it's been a hard-fought football game the whole night. People have scrapped and clawed for everything, and it's been pretty clean. Been a pretty clean game. You tell your kids you want to win with class and you lose with honor. And if that's the case, so be it in the next 20 minutes, or the 20 seconds rather, because Orange has nothing to be ashamed of. They've had a great football season, and they're losing to a pretty good football team if the score does hold the way it is.
31-24, 21 seconds in the victory formation. Kendall Hinton will kneel down and the clock stops, and waiting for the officials to blow this one back into play. And they will indeed wind the clock now, and that should do it. Southern Durham will not have to take another snap, and indeed, there is a congratulation of warriors down there in the trenches.
That's right.
Despite the chippiness there at the end with those crazy skill players. The guys down in the trenches, they realize the battle they've been through, and that was a nice sight to see there, especially across the middle, center and nose guard exchanging handshakes and really realizing that both these teams have been through a battle. And Southern Durham, they know that they dodged a bullet here to win this third-round contest, 31-24. Let's go down to Jeff Hamlin. Jeff?
Well, guys, this was some contest here tonight in Orange. Has some pretty devastated players right now. Artrell Stewart, Kai Muller, two Orange wide receivers, have not joined the handshake line as of yet because they have tears in their eyes. There's some very clear emotion, and while high school sports may not get the lion's share of attention that college and the pros get, that doesn't make the emotions any less raw and any less real. And you see that here crystal clear. When the season comes to an end, it all begins in August, and here on a chilly night at the end of November, it ends for Orange.
31-24, the final score here in the third round of the North Carolina High School Athletic Association playoffs. It will be the Southern Spartans continuing on to the semifinal round. I'm not sure who they'll be playing yet, that game in progress. We'll see if Jeff Hamlin can grab a word with head coach Pat Moser. In the meantime, let's congratulate the seniors for this Orange team. Right at the top of the list, you're looking at Joe Piscitelli, Patrick Pettiford, Archerell Stewart, and Dwayne Watkins. Further down the list, kicker Brad Barbie leaving the program. Kai Muller, who had such an outstanding year at wide receiver. He's a graduating senior along with Derek Boone, J.D. Brooks, Malik Rogers, Marquise Morrow, Brandon Van Hook. Some key players playing their last game in Orange and White. Nick Schultz, Juan Torres, Adam Reynolds, and they're in the line. And then the linemen of Tyler Raitano, Nick Gentile, Zach Wittig, Joe Poole. And further on down to the punter, Seth Mathis. That's a good portion of Pat Moser's talented Panthers that have done an outstanding job for this season and the previous as, they look to continue and build some of their youth into experience next year. But, Jason Tudrin, we watched this last year. You had an incredible season, absolutely incredible season, come to a bit of a heartbreaking end. And, of course, all ends are heartbreaking. Otherwise, it wouldn't end.
That's right.
And, what's the most important thing that you, and you and I have talked about this during the season during our Tuesday chats, what's the most important message that carries through the season for your communication with your boys as they become men that you like to reinforce as the last thing they hear before they walk out of the room?
I think the ultimate lesson is that we're trying to educate young men into grown men, and I think the lessons you take from it, and in Orange's case, it's definitely the true, is that, you know, adverse things come up all the time in a football game, and football mirrors life in so many different ways, and, you know, they had their ups and their downs, but they came to grit together as a family, as a core group of guys that trusted each other, learned how to work together towards a common goal, and I think that mirrors family life, that mirrors society in a strong way. So I think if they take those lessons away, and it's hard to say immediately after a football game when the emotions are still raw, but if they take those bonds and those memories away with them, then they'll be better people and better fathers and husbands down the road, and that's what we try to sell to our kids and to instill in them as they leave the program.
Jason Tudrin, we have enjoyed watching you instruct your kids, and we have enjoyed watching Pat Moser lead his troops, Isaac Marsh leading his Tigers, and Chris Casey leading his Red Wolves over there at Cedar Ridge, and you know, Coach Stevenson leading troops there at East Chapel Hill, and you know, again, the quality of coaching that we have experienced in the area has been you know, nothing less than a pleasure. We're going to take a quick 2-minute break. The final score here as the Orange Panthers season comes to an end in the third round of the North Carolina High School Athletic Association playoffs is 31-24 as the Spartans of Southern advance. You're listening to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. Once again, 31-24. We'll be back in moments with some final words, final stats, and a talk with head coach Pat Moser of Orange.
Will you be our neighbor? If you or someone you know is moving or building a home in Chapel Hill, Harrington Bank is your first stop in financing your new dream home. Harrington Bank offers competitive rates and products for construction loans, renovation loans, home equity loans, and refinancing options. Let's be neighbors and give us a call today. Harrington Bank is conveniently located at Southern Village, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
The Saturday Morning Sports Clinic at UNC Family Medicine is open and ready to treat your acute injuries. You'll be cared for by the same physicians and staff that work with UNC and the Chapel Hill-Carrboro high school teams. UNC Family Medicine treats everything from casting to ultrasounds to x-rays, as well as provides surgical consults and concussion evaluations. The Saturday Morning Sports Clinic at UNC Family Medicine. Find out more at uncfamilymedicine.org. Just another way that UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
You may already know that AT&T is the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And now, independent third-party research has confirmed that AT&T is also the most reliable 4G LTE network. But what does that mean for you? Whether you're connecting with family and friends, getting the job done at work, or simply looking for entertainment, you want a wireless network you can count on. That's why AT&T built the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And we're not the only ones saying it. PC Magazine recently ranked AT&T's LTE network as the fastest overall. And PC World stated that AT&T's LTE service is the fastest 2 years running. Not surprisingly, that same lightning-fast network is now the most reliable as well. AT&T, the nation's fastest and now most reliable 4G LTE network. Rethink possible. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Speed claim based on national carrier's average 4G LTE download speeds. Reliability claim based on data transfer completion rates on nationwide 4G LTE networks. 4G LTE not available everywhere.
You're listening to High School Football on 97.9 FM WCHL. Follow your area teams all season long on your news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Panthers had the run of play on the road to revenge, ready to take down the Spartans. They had learned all the lessons that needed to be learned. They kept firing on all cylinders, grabbed the lead, never looked back until 6 minutes and 20 seconds remaining to play in the third quarter. And that is when Kendall Hinton, handoff to Jordan Brown, who slipped two tackles, slid out to the left sideline and went 46 yards to put the Spartans on top for what would end up being the game winner, as the Panthers fought valiantly, but losing quarterback Garrett Kloer with about 5 minutes remaining to play in the fourth quarter. That eventually spelled the doom, as Bryce Wilson came in and did a remarkable job of coming in cold right out of the bullpen. In fact, throwing a touchdown pass to Artrell Stewart, but just not enough. As this Spartans team, you know, we talked about in the beginning of the game, everybody who plays them looks back and goes, ah, geez, you know, we had them right where we wanted. They're not that good. We had them. You know what, Jason Tudorn? They are that good.
No, they are. They absolutely in every game, regardless.
And they showed it on defense tonight. Actually,
they did. They, especially in the second half, they played with a lot of passion, a lot of fire on defense. They were extremely physical with the ball. I think in the first half they were on the heels a little bit. They didn't really play with that same passion that they had in the second half. But you know, in every football game, regardless of level, there's 7 to 10 plays that are going to be the difference, and you'll turn it back later in the day or later in the night, and you'll say, "Man, if we just had those 7 to 10 plays back." And as a coach, you tell your kids that all the time. But you don't ever know which 7 or 10 it's going to be. And so you got to play every play like it is that play. And there's a couple times where Cameron and Brown both made excellent jobs, did an excellent job of breaking tackles and having that explosive play. Really the two only explosive plays of the night for Southern, and it ended up being the difference in the game.
And, you know, we did mention that special teams would play a role, and it did. And, you know, for both teams, they acquitted themselves well. The Panthers certainly better job on special teams tonight. They had an outstanding game plan, and they were able to execute. And then we talked about turnovers and penalties, and there is where Orange fell short. Too many penalties in key situations, and then a couple of turnovers salted away. Let's go down the field to Jeff Hamlin. Jeff?
Guys, we couldn't get an official comment from the trainer about what happened with Garrett Kloer, but we can tell you for certain that right now Garrett is seated away from the team huddle, which is taking place in the end zone. He is sitting in a chair right now, and he is coughing very loudly, and I think you can take the following steps from that point forward as to what's happening. It may be concussion-related symptoms, because it's something that is clearly nothing to mess around with, and we're going to try to talk to catch Pat Moser here.
And while Jeff goes to track down head coach Pat Moser, you know, we'll go back to that, and we'll talk about the play of Garrett Kloer. We'll have his statistics, you know, at the end of the contest. But Garrett Kloer did an outstanding job, masterful job of managing this game, and you know, doing all the things that needed to be done, executing the game plan that Pat Moser and his crew you know, asked him to execute. He did an outstanding job. And it's just unfortunate that he was not able to finish the job and work the remainder of the fourth quarter. Let's go on down to Jeff Hamlin, who is in the midst of the gaggle with head coach Pat Moser. Jeff?
We played them better defensively. They played us better defensively. And, you know, I thought we were 10-10 at the half. Anything, you know, could have happened from there, and they just came out and made some big plays, a couple of big broken tackles. The run that Hinton made and then the run that Cameron made, they were special. You know, they didn't just break out into nothing and take off. They broke tackles, several tackles, slipped out of the grasp of several of our kids. And, you know, that's just really good athletes making big plays in big games, and that's what they do.
How's the quarterback? Do you have any idea what the...
He's a little bit shaky. He might have a concussion. They're checking him out right now. But he's just a competitor and was trying to make something happen over there on their sideline and got hit by several of their players at once and took a shot. So checking on him now. We don't know what it is yet.
I'm assuming that wasn't a called play there.
No, he was flushed out of the pocket and was trying to make something happen. And so he was trying to get as much yardage as he could down the sideline and just took a big hit.
Coach, what's put Bryce Wilson ahead of Josh Keel on the depth chart?
Do what?
What's put Bryce Wilson ahead of Josh Keel as backup QB?
Well, Bryce was the backup QB at the start of the year. and Josh came in and we played him some earlier, and we moved Josh to wide receiver because we think that's where he's going to play next year, and so we were playing Josh some at wide receiver, and so Bryce was moved back to our number two.
He had that tough first series, but then he was able to good job back with then touchdown. Just talk a little bit about the way that he settled down and got you back in that position.
Well, he's a good quarterback. He just didn't get a whole lot of practice time there, of course, because Garrett is number one. So, you know, we knew that, you know, he could move us down the field. That's not a problem. They were giving us some soft coverage, so we threw some underneath routes, and then our receivers made big plays, took it down the field quick, but we couldn't get the onside.
We had to tell you defended a lot of big plays with him.
Oh, yeah.
In the first half.
Yeah, I thought the defense played well. You know, we changed some stuff up. You know, Coach Smith stemmed a lot and moved around trying to confuse them, and I think for the most part did a pretty good job, but they're just so talented it's hard to stop them all night.
At the risk of being facile, I mean, what could you say to the team about the season? You know, getting to the third round twice.
Oh, it's a great season. You know, 12-1. It's the best record. Maybe I'm not sure. Somebody might can tell me, but I think it's the best record or the most wins that Orange has ever had. So it's a special group of kids, and you know, you hate that it has to end. But Southern is deserving. They're definitely going to be a state contender, and you know, right now we'll just have to go home and start preparing for next year.
And what does it say about the Big Eight as well? The fact that you had you know, so many teams in the playoffs. There's two of you here in what is effectively the state quarterfinals. Mm-hmm. You know, what does that say about the power of this conference that you're in?
Oh, it's a great conference, top to bottom, no doubt. There's a lot of good teams in it. And it'll be tough every year. It'll be tough next year. So, and Southern with you know, returning some of their stars, you know, I'm sure they'll be preseason choice to finish number one again.
That's Coach Moser, guys.
Thank you, Jeff Tamlin. And once again, Jeff, wrap up some stats for us, if you will, in just a moment. We will just want to run you quick, just give you an idea as to how dominating and how just outstanding this Orange team was. Of course, with realignment, Orange moving to the North Carolina 3A Big 8 Conference and started off the year with a win against Person 40-7, defeated Northern Durham 42-15. They took care of Riverside 38-0, and then Graham 35-0. And then we're able to go to Northwood High School, the first game that you and I worked, Jason Tudrin, where we really thought that was going to be the class of the North Carolina Big 8 Conference, and they rolled over the Northwood Chargers 41-21, defeated Northern Vance 56-0, took care of Cedar Ridge 59-7. Then they had that sleeper game where they almost lost their undefeated season to Chapel Hill, winning with 2.7 seconds left. The hookup from Garrett Clower to Kai Muller, won 6-0, rebounded right away to take her away 56-7. Then down the road to get their revenge on Cardinal Gibbons, 49-28, took care of Southern, or rather their first loss of the season in the last regular season game. They lost to Southern 55-41 right here at Southern High School. And then on to the state playoffs, convincing win against Rocky Mount 31-3. They were able to take care of, actually just survive Cleveland last week up in Cleveland at 59-50 as the sixth-seeded team on the way in. And then, of course, they lose tonight to end the 2013 season 21-14 in the third round of the North Carolina High School Athletic Association playoffs to the Southern Durham Spartans. And Jeff has some quick stats before we go to our final break.
All right, yeah, thanks, Paul. 452 yards total offense for Southern Durham in the game. Kendall Hinton was 15 of 31 with two interceptions. He threw for one touchdown. That's actually the lowest amount of touchdowns he has thrown all season. He has had multiple touchdowns in each of his games this year. For Orange, they came away with 267 yards offense, but they only had 66 yards rushing. And the leading rusher in the game for Orange was actually Michael Bolden, who came away with a total of 45 yards. Tay Jones with 12 yards rushing in this game. That's actually his second lowest total of the year. The only game where he had fewer yards was against Northern Vance, and really that was a game where the substitutes got into the game. You just mentioned the score fall because it was so lopsided. Tay really wasn't all that needed. So Jones came away with only 12 yards rushing, and Patrick Pettiford had 9 yards rushing. That doesn't include, of course, the huge 94-yard kickoff return that started the second half, and Pettiford comes away with 9 yards through the air. Artrell Stewart, the leading receiver in the game for Orange, 5 receptions, 78 yards, and a touchdown. Kai Muller, 5 receptions for 67 yards and a touchdown as well. Orange really did a good job in the first half, I thought, trying to contain and really take Southern's offense off the field, but that was not the case during the second half. It was some paltry numbers put up by Kendall Hinton by his usual standard, but of course Southern Durham has a lot of weapons, and that's the reason why they keep finding ways to win. Last week against Cardinal Gibbons, and once again against Orange here tonight.
And it's just a matter of time. Jeff Hamlin, fantastic job down on the sidelines tonight. Get warm, young man, and thank you for all of your service on the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week this year. We look forward to seeing Jeff next year as he heads off to someplace warm. Jason Tudrin, always a pleasure to have you alongside. And your final thoughts on the game you saw tonight and area football in general.
Like I said, I believe that Orange County football in general is just improving each year. It's great to see Orange go to as far as they have the last two seasons. They've been in the Thanksgiving Day type of football game. And, it's always fun coming out and watching this type of atmosphere. As Jeff mentioned earlier, as the game was ending, and, high school sports is great. And it's whatever you can do in your community to support high school sports in general, then do it, because these kids poured their hearts out tonight. And it was an honor to be up here and witness it.
Well, Jason Tudrin, thank you for joining us twice this year. We hope that you will not be able to join us at all next year.
Likewise, Paul. I believe that.
Except,
too.
Well, maybe you get that if your wife will let you.
That's right.
You get that off week, and maybe you'll come to us on the bye week. But once again, for Anthony Wellman, for Jeff Hamlin, for Walter Storhol, for Alex Curley, and in the booth keeping us all together at WCHL Championship Sports Studios, for Barry Leffler, Jim Hevner, and for all the folks back at WCHL Corporate, including Rand Northam, thank you for joining us for each and every game this week. The WCHL High School Football Game of the Week and the Merits Double, streaming online at chaffborough.com. From Southern High School, the final score, 31-24 in favor of the Southern Spartans as they end the Orange Panthers season with 2 losses, both of them to the Southern Spartans, as they advance to the state semifinals. Once again, thank you for joining us for the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week on 97.9 FM, 1360 AM, and streaming live at chaffborough.com. For Jeff Hamlin on the sidelines and Jason Tudrin alongside, this is Paul Connell saying good night, everybody.